ngā whanganga kua tahuri mai I te pōnei, ngā mihi kia koutou katoa e te iwi. Welcome to our Whiti Whiti kōrero this evening, live every Thursday at 7:30 with Te Huku Media and our Reo Irirangi. I'm Hini Hōtereni hosting you this evening, and the topic of our kōrero is around building papakāinga using whenua Māori, and where are we as whānau, as individuals, as iwi whānui in the housing game, and is it a game? Ngā mihi ki a koe e hua Maria Mino, ngā mihi o te pō, kei a koe te wā whāki mai ki a tātou kō wai koe, ki ora, mo te hunga kore mōhio, ki tō ātāhua pai.
Koia, ena koe e Heni, tōku whanaunga e Ricky, tēnā koutou katoa hakarongo mai ana I tēnei pō, ko Maria Mino kapa kingi, ko te Maria Mino kapa tino au pauri tērā ingoa, ko te kingi, ano ka hono ki te tahi tāngata a tāhua mai Tainui, a ko Korotangi, ai tikana mihi atu ana ki a tātou, so e mahi anau I raru I te maru o te runanga nui o te aupauri, me te tahi atu hononga ki Whangaroa, no reira ka tika kia ora tātou.
Kia ora Maria Mino, ngā mihi ki a koe tēnei wā o te pauri, tanga kei rungi a tātou katoa ai, ngā mihi. Kei a koe te wā, Ricky?
Ai.
Ngā mihi o te pō ki a koe?
Ai. Tēnā kaurua, he mihi, kino mihi a tāhua, he wāhine mā, he mana wāhine, he kotiro no Taitokerau. He Ricky Houghton ahau, no noho ana I tēnei wā, I te pātū. He tomo ake, he Tautoku āwhina ngā whānau whānui no he Korowai Trust. He mihi tēnā koutou ngā whānau whānui. He rungo I te pō nā ko mate e te whaia, e noho ana I te kau I te whaia. He takoto mai. Kia ora koutou.
Kia ora Ricky. Kia ora ki a tātou katoa te hunga ora ngā mihi Māori ora. Kia ora to you both. Thank you for your introduction. Now, as I introduced us this evening, I talked about housing. It's a big take. Both of you have worked supporting whānau to get into housing in your respective areas for a long time now. Myself, I've been out of it, so he hanga kuare, don't know what's going on. Very interested. Is this a game? Are we winning? Is it no joke when our land is, you know, no longer able to do what we want to do on it? Tell me what's happening for, particularly for Te Aupauri and some of the mahi you're involved in, Maria Mino. Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. Hene, maybe, can I, e tukuna te rākau ki taku whanaunga Ricky, and the reason why I want to do that is Ricky's efforts and drive for a long time now, and I guess I'm following in his trail, the truth of it, and I'm not even trying to play small on this, I'm just commenting on some of the work that he's driven and the flash photos that he had taken with the Prime Minister some while ago, and I remember that, and Te Ahu sent on thinking, look at my cousin, doing the work and playing the game, I guess, at, you know, just ki tō pātai mena he kēmu, hore he kou he kēmu. But cousin, do you mind if I just refer to Ricky, and I'm happy to follow up after he.
Thank you. No. Well, I was going to save the best to last, but you know, the wahine first caught it. So kia ora Ricky, very excited to hear what's happening with He Korowai Trust, and you know, yeah. Of course, you've been involved for so long, you know what's going on. Kia ora.
You know, the housing solutions that we've developed, people say you must be pretty clever, but really at the end of the day, I have people sit across my desk every day for the last 15 years now, and pleading for some sort of opportunity to start at the bottom rung of housing. And so I've always I've developed a philosophy of looking at what we haven't got, you know, and then that made me really disillusioned. So the day I started celebrating and focusing on what we have got, that was the day that I started to be able to pull myself and the people that we've worked with out of the mud. We've become so state dependent that we forget and we don't really celebrate what we have. And so what we do have is, they call it a lot of people call it a problem, whereas I call it a real tribute there. We've got 75,000 hectares of undeveloped and underutilized Māori land in the north. 75% of all Māori are under the age of 35, but they are very unskilled and they are very, very unemployed, and they face, they're at risk of very long-term unemployment. I do know that our housing solutions aren't going to come out of a hole in the wall in the middle of Kaitaia. They're not going to come out of Wellington, but then nor should they. And they're going to come from normal people just like us, you know, through these sorts of conversations. So to start off, what we've done was we bought 50 acres of farmland in the middle of town, and we turned the land from European land into Māori land, because everybody was saying, well, the Māoris out there, they got plenty of housing opportunities. So we turned the European land into Māori land because we wanted to test if there's all these products out there, housing products, let's go and get some of them. So we set the land up specifically to look for housing opportunities using the Māori housing products that the government said was available. And so we faced the problem, just like all of our whānau out there today, of trying to access opportunity and money. So what we done was we discovered that we were, we discovered that, you know, with all these young people, we went to a few meetings and we found out that there's 8,500 housing corp homes that are going to be decommissioned in the next 8 years. And so I went down with a grandiose dream of putting the name in for 10% of it to come north, and 10% was something they taught me at church there, you know, for tithing. So I thought I'd go and ask for 10% of these. I thought I'd go and ask for 10% of these houses over the next 7 years, and I'd bring 800 homes back into the north. Now, the marvelous thing about these homes is that they were going to be demolished anyway. And so in terms of the environment and saving them being crushed in landfill, they were crushing them at the time I first went down there, 5 a week. And I asked them if we could take 5 of these houses, bring these houses back home onto this 5 acres of land, and use them as classrooms to teach our up-and-coming students who weren't at school and they weren't in work or any form of training. So we used the houses as classrooms. Then we set up a trade training academy, and it was called Sweet Ass. And the Sweet Ass stands for Students Without Education or Employment, Training, Achieving, and Succeeding. Now, how's that? And then what happened was, well, you know, all these people said that our housing is a problem, our land is a problem, our babies are going to be problems, and we're going to be a problem. But we can turn that all upside down. And I wanted to try and develop a model using all the information and all the pleas, the housing pleas for help that the whānau have offered us, talking to me across the desk. So that's what I've been focusing on over the last few years, and I've learned a lot. I've learned that the promise with Māori housing that the government gets is like a rock, And when you look under it, there's nothing there. It's a facade.
Ricky, I think that I just want to cue in there, Ricky, because you've absolutely done so much, and not only the building of the houses, but all of the wraparound support. And so from that time, you know, taking all of these houses up from Auckland that, like you said, were derelict, reuse, recycle was all the terms these days. It's become quite fancy, and offering all of these alternative models that was absolutely not seen anywhere else for whānau to get into housing, whether they're entering as rentals, as home ownership, and even lately, all of the mahi He Korowai Trust has been doing, helping our homeless people get into care. I do want to say, Ricky, if you definitely deserve a knighthood, but I think that it would be for you being trespassed from Housing New Zealand. What a feat. That's the goal right there. How convicted are you in just never ceasing to strive for better housing?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ricky.
And that is the problem. You see, the problem is that we're ignored. And if people like us who are paid to serve the people are put through that many barriers, how do you think our whānau feel? I've been threatened through the government there for stalking ministers, you know, but they are public servants, banned from Housing New Zealand. The thing is that the North is ignored. When you look at the distribution of Crown assets and funding, none of it comes north. I mean, the latest treaty claim that we've taken against the Crown over that, you know, the fact that the legislation, we had to take the government to court, and there's legislation there now under the KiwiSaver Act, the He Korowai Trust versus KiwiSaver Act, but the policies are so prejudicial because you couldn't use your KiwiSaver to put to get your land on, and so, you know, that had to go to Treasury and Cabinet, but there's so many, the fact that our whānau can't go, they can be unemployed in Auckland, but they can't come up to live in their own home up where our whanaunga Māori Minoa is, up in Opauri, because it's a no-go zone. You know, at the end of the, we have to influence policy. We have to, you know, like, I mean, many of our families, we're very asset rich, but cash strapped. And so we have to influence policy. Capitalizing on our children is the only way that our families are going to get kickstart there. The national average income, the poverty line is 29,000. Heck, the average income in Kai Tai is 24. It's already 5,000 behind. So when you're talking about housing, you sort of say, well, what about if you forgive the GST unless we sell it? You know, there's real simple solutions that we can put up as from the far north, but
Ricky. Now, capitalizing on our children, that reminds me of how my parents got into housing through the Māori housing schemes, and they kind of cashed in on the family support of the time that is now, how many children you have, and how the government supplements your household to support. So, you're talking about there is recognizing there's that pūtea there and using it to back up the housing loan.
Yeah.
Just go to you now, Maria Meno. I want to finish with you soon, Ricky, because I don't believe we anyway scratched the surface. But like Ricky said, Maria Meno, it's very racist. We can't, you know, everyone else can get a KiwiSaver if they're building on a general title, but as Māori, we can't. And it's never ending. What's going on? You were in, you're part of the Māori Party. Can we expect to get something happening there, or does it always come back to us at home on the whenua?
To the first part, I think it is absolutely our time in general, whatever it is we're talking about. And I think it's our time because, because the signs around that I see, even the signs there, Ricky, that for some, for our whānau, you know, ahua taretare, there's no question that I'm seeing a movement of pushing and resisting, and as you say, just like demanding more and demanding better. So that was really the approach we took in Opodi land, Hēni, and we've got 16 new homes that we're about to build, four bedroom and three bedroom. But really, Ricky, you know, it's based on the work, because you know, we're being able to use prior material and prior battle tactics and strategy to just drive the conversation in a very different way. And so now we've got 16 homes and for new, brand new homes, you know, which will be built up at the Papakāinga. And then ka ringi mai te tahi whānau, oh, I mean, I've got some whenua over here. And, you know, our whānau, we're coming together and we want to put some homes on our whenua. And I said, yes, and you should be you are entitled and we must do that. So, and whatever we can do as the runanga or just as a bright, you know, individual is to make that happen. Can Hēni, I just want to remark on something that Ricky started. You know, Ricky, you said, you know, people think we're clever, and I'm no doubt we're clever. We are more clever than a clever
thing. Stop it.
And when you get all the clevers together, you get a really good movement of Māori mind and Māori strategy to produce, or at least a platform for our next generations, because they're coming. I can, you know, I was just at the pie, I'm sitting across from this gorgeous young wahine, and I said, what are you doing, baby? She goes, oh, I'm what halls are you staying? I'm staying in Waikato, I'm studying law. Well, we just launched into this beautiful Māori conversation about what it means these days. A Māori lawyer, a Māori, any, whatever it is a different conversation, Hēni, and so our 16 homes, that it's a great thing, but it's by no means the first and last thing. We've just purchased the water infrastructure. You know, so this tiny runanga with, you know, a number of people living at home, majority of us, of the 8,000, majority of us live outside of the Kāo, but our heart is still at home. Now, buying a water infrastructure that used to be owned by some well-meaning, I guess, Pākehā and Māngonui, now some really smart Māori in the Kāo own it. Because the lake is on our whenua and the infrastructure is on our whenua. Now our job is to maintain, to keep the 60 customers that are currently on it going, and to turn what is still grey water from the lake into drinking water. So how do I do that? Well, I'm chasing. And just as a matter of interest, the investment for the new homes and investment for the water tanks, which is the kaupapa that we're leading across of the whole of Te Hiku via Carol Bergen's team, by the way, amazing team. You know, there's a different mood, I guess is what I'm saying. It's a marching forward, Hēni, and we're up for anything. Own our own water, our own homes, our own Māori Mokopuna authority. I'm going for that.
Love it. Something
going for. Kia ora. Kia ora.
Love it. We have to, you know, mana Māori motuhake, and we just saw both of your niece there, Haukura, come on, I think she was putting up her hand because she wants a house. You know, it's that generation. She's a producer here, and she's back home with the tamariki and thinking forward, and everyone moving together is really the vibe at the moment. Water, infrastructure, very important. Ricky, kia koe te wā, will be just wrapping things up soon. Let me know what's going on there.
In terms of infrastructure?
Infrastructure and water, that's people, I think some, you know, for me, I understand living on the kāinga that the infrastructure is often more important than the house, how you're going to get to it, the access, and then what's going to supply the house, the water, what's going to heat everything. Caught up on the roof, but what about the infrastructure?
We've just started another 24 home project, and but these homes are going to be plug and play. So what it means is that they come onto the Papakāinga for up to 5 years, get a bit of equity in their home, get a bit of behaviour change, And then when they unplug from the infrastructure down in the Papakainga, and we take them home, we give them a $60,000 refund. And so that money is
plug and play. Did I hear right? Was it plug and play?
Yeah, so the house is a plug and play, and the 24 houses. And we're even trialing 4 houses for kids that are in care, SIFS kids there. And what we're going to do is we're going to put the house in their name. And if mum and dad misbehave, well, then they can go and get themselves sorted out, but they will never be kicked out of that house. So we're trying all sort of different designs. We've just finished 16 self-contained isolation, COVID isolation units, and 6 Komatua units. And so these 24 houses, but I'm very, very conscious of the fact that infrastructure and how we're going to do that. So, yeah, so the houses are designed plug and play. After 5 to 6 years, we disconnect them from there and we take them home so we can reconnect them not only to their infrastructure, but we can reconnect their umbilical cord back to their whānau, back to their whenua, back to their whare, and back to their futures.
Kia ora, kia ora. Tautoko marika, Maria Mino kia koe te wā whakamutanga kia haka kapito tātou nei kōrero. For me, I think it's really important when building on Māori land to maintain our tikanga. Give me some examples of what you're seeing at the moment around tikanga Māori practices and framework for making decisions around papakainga builds, because we're always going back to the Māori land court to determine what happens. Meanwhile, me aha, tātou.
Okay. I just want to pick up the tikanga one and relate it directly to the kaumātua hui that was had the other day. Hita goes, okay, meno, we're going to have a hui at the marae. And hea te take, tikanga i rungi te marae. And I'm like, okay, hea hai te rā take? Well, kua, you know, huri haere ngā te tahi ka taimai mai, tā wāhi ka pēnei ka tū mai ka, you know, kai whara i te rā tikanga. So it's a whole gig, eh? He tikanga kei tēnā, taha he tikanga kei tēnā. Without personalising this, I like the idea of us returning to some very smart Māori ways of thinking, which are tikanga based, and actually quite, and I can, you know, without people getting annoyed with what I'm about to say, but a very strict, actually, and strict for purpose. So I am definitely a military-styled mother. My kids get to where they get for no, there's no accident, I got them there. And I stand and go, I did that. Now, e hara tēnā mea ki te hakahihi ki te, in any way, other than to say that our kids, we are preparing them for the next line and the next line coming through. So so tikanga, I guess, is, I think that's a thorough and well-deserved conversation that each whare needs to run. But I want to say that te reo o te māma, te reo o te wahine. Hey, you know, I think go there. I think it's timely. And I want to drop this other thing because I know it's a bit of a leap here. But at the end of this year, well, very soon, we've got some election coming up for regional elections, right? I want to call to all of our iwi leaders, and which is myself in some regard and many of us, we need to select our own, send our best forward, not definitely send the most available or the most convenient. Yep.
Couple,
so, and so there's Northland regional council elections and districts.
Yes, we need
Kokwetera. Interested?
Yeah, no,
you need you know, like we shouldn't have to wait for our leadership to die to succeed. I think that we should get behind our young people. What you're doing, Maria Mino, I like that strategy. So what we should do is stand behind them and show them that we care and support them, and that we will be there with them to stand up and fight back And it doesn't have to be, you know, with your nose and your lips stuck against the window, peering in at the board table. There's a lot of other smarter ways to be able to do things.
I'll just add this to you because I totally tautokona wau kōrero. In the last sort of 5 years, I have, and many of us, e hara kua hauana he, we bring them, what I talk about, bringing them to our shoulder now. Not when we're gasping our last breath. The fact of the matter is they are wired for a future that they're going to be standing in it. And they're exciting. I'm just like, sometimes I'll turn around and go, gee, these young ones, man, they're like, they excite me. And they're bilingual, they're Maya, and they're healthy, they're stunning. But our job is still to, I think, we bring them to our shoulder now, Ricky. Kona taku. Yeah.
I totally agree. Now is the time.
All of that, the nurturing and encouragement to do what they're so energized to do, the next generation. And Ricky, you hit it on the head tonight. The tikanga model is if the parents are playing up, the kids have the ability to kick them out.
You know, the other thing is I had a claim heard. Talking about tikanga, I had a claim heard at Te Puia Marae this year, but it was against the tenancy tribunal. And basically with Māori land there, the tikanga that you set, that we set in terms of the no drugs, alcohol or violence, breaches the right to peaceful living. And the tenancy tribunal took away our accreditation. And everything there, and I said, well, you know, you can put that where the sun don't shine, but at the end of the day, the trustees set the tikanga, and the people that come and live there, will abide by the only the trustees, the governors, will have the mana over the whenua. They have the mana whenua over the 50 acres. And they said, well, no, they don't. And so watch that space, because they're saying that the trustees don't have any jurisdiction. I said, well, I got the status changed in the Māori Land Court. Where does the tenancy tribunal sit in terms of the Māori Land Court? And they said, oh, no, the Māori Land Court is a lot. And I said, well, there you go. And take your accreditation. I don't want it. But you see, these are the things that we have to share, and we have to be aware of, because the Kiwi Save Act, that's actually been changed now, but that was through the we had that change through the action that we took against the Crown. But we are all hitting potholes, and if we talk like this more often, and we share the good, the bad, and the ugly of our housing, learning, and experience, our relationships. You know, you ladies will get on a lot better with people that hurt me. Well, they think they're hurting me, but really they're hurting the people.
We won't get on with them, Ricky.
If you're better looking, you fellas. And, you know, look at your fellas' beautiful smile. You know, once men talk to men, you know, once men start talking to men, there's something about the testosterone that gets in the way, and the kaupapa's dropped. So, but you put a woman there, and I tell you what, you wouldn't think you were the same conversation after 5 minutes. But you know, the funding, the project funding, and the things that we've had to do to basically complete a project before we even get funded for it, it's horrible. You know, there's a lot that the iwi leadership could be doing to support the to support us. You know, I think the other thing is that in the social accord with the five iwi, I think there needs to be a place on the social accord for the NGO sector. Now, that could be somebody like a housing provider. It could be something like Bill Halkyard, who's got 13,000 patients on his patient list. Yeah. Whoever it is. But I'd like to put a prod in for the NGO sector and say, hey, why can't we sit alongside with relations? You know, like when somebody comes to the table, when somebody comes to the table there and unexpectedly, well, we all cut a little bit off our sausage and we all share it. But there's a, you know, and you know, the social accord is an opportunity for us to share this type of conversation, but at an iwi leadership level, rather than, you know, get down the road and they say, who the hell does that fella think he is? But it's not that, you know, like having those opportunities available is one thing, because they all say, you can come and talk to me anytime. But how do you access those opportunities at the right time if you're not sitting around the table? Suddenly I find myself, I'm the one with my lips and nose squeezed up against the window looking in at them.
And you shared your sausage after all of that.
After all of that, well, you know, I tell you what, after all of that there, you know, in spite of how we get there, we all have the same destination, but we all have different journeys and different ideas about our pathway to get to that destination. And we should celebrate that rather than stand back and sort of say, well, my way is better because of this there. That's not what it's about. What it's about is saying, this is what I'm doing. This is what I can share. I've got a resource. I've got a car that sits outside my office every day. I've got staff. I've got staff that I think could help. And you've got staff that I think could help me. Let's share the staff. At the end of the day, we're all working with the same families.
Thank you. Thank you, Ricky. That was a great overview of what's happening, particularly in Te Huku, with the iwi rōpū, with the agencies, all the community groups. But I believe the theme for tonight was you just keep going, aha, ko te aha, and whether some of the whānau listening tonight to this kōrero on Whitiwhiti are thinking, you know, I want to go home, I want to live in the city, I want a pod, a garage, a relocatable home. There's so many options, but the tikanga is to mahi tahi and to work together. Thank you both for joining us this evening on this kōrero every Thursday, 7:30 on Te Huku Live. Our reo irirangi is also tuned in this evening. Ngā mihi ki a koutou katoa. And for the final words for this evening, we need to be landlords on our whenua, rangatira, not the tenants. Ne, tautoko marika ki a tātou katoa.
Tautoko.
Tēnā koe hini. Tēnā koe hini. Tēnā koe hini. Tēnā koe hini. Tēnā koe hini.